Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Right, so three things landed this week that feel like they're all pointing in the same direction, and I want to walk through them properly because the thread connecting them is subtle, but it matters. Let's start with something that sounds backward. Engineers at EPFL in Switzerland spent time on a problem most people assume is unsolvable. How do you make a multi-module robot more reliable as you add more parts? Because the obvious answer is, you don't. Most systems get more fragile with complexity. Add more modules, more points of failure, more things that can break. That's just physics, right? Except they inverted the whole problem. Instead of trying to make each module bulletproof, they made modules share everything: power, communication, sensing. When one module loses its battery completely, goes blind, can't communicate, the neighbors step in and compensate. They tested this on something called the Mori 3 robot. It's an origami-style robot that folds and unfolds to navigate terrain. They killed the central module, dead battery. No wireless, sensors offline. The thing that should have made the whole system collapse. And it kept moving, it contorted itself under barriers, it adapted, it survived. The research is in Science Robotics this week, but honestly, the insight is simpler than the paper makes it sound. Nature already solved this. Birds share sensing through flocking. One bird spots a predator, the whole flock reacts. Trees warn neighbors through airborne chemicals when insects attack. These engineers just built that directly into robot hardware, and here's why that matters. Warehouse robots, factory robots, anything that moves in unstructured spaces, they're all going to fail at some point. The question isn't if they fail, it's whether they fail catastrophically or whether they adapt and keep going. This approach says, build resilience through sharing, not through hardening. That's a different design philosophy entirely. Okay, so completely different corner of the tech world now. Mistral released something this week called Voxtral TTS. It's a voice synthesis model, 3.6 billion parameters, open weights, and the quality matches 11 labs. Now, I know what you're thinking, another AI announcement, but stay with me because the architecture here is genuinely interesting. They combine two approaches, autoregressive generation for the semantic tokens, the meaning layer, and then flow matching for the acoustic tokens, the sound layer. What that gives them is speed. Instead of hundreds of inference steps like diffusion models need, they're doing this in 4 to 16 steps. Why does that matter? Because voice agents need real-time streaming. You can't have a 3-second pause while the model thinks. The conversation dies. In the podcast episode we did with their team, Pavan and Guillaume explained the choice pretty clearly. If you're building voice agents, if you need real-time responses, diffusion-only approaches don't fit. Flow matching does. And they released the weights, so now anyone building voice applications has an open option that actually competes on quality and latency. The barrier just dropped. Again. Now. Here's where it gets interesting. Ben Thompson wrote something this week that connected a bunch of dots I hadn't put together. It's called Apple's 50 Years of Integration. He traces Apple's competitive advantage through 5 decades. Hardware and software integration, that's the consistent thread. From the Apple II through the Mac, through the iPhone. But then he gets to AI, and Apple's doing something counterintuitive again. They're not building their own LLMs to compete with OpenAI or Google. They're aggregating third-party AI, letting ChatGPT and others live inside iOS, while keeping control of the device layer. Thompson's argument is that this ES integration, just integration of AI through partnerships, not through building it in-house, and when you put that next to what Mistral is doing, releasing open weights voice models, and what those EPFL engineers are doing, building resilience through sharing instead of hardening, you start to see a pattern. The closed, vertically integrated approach, where one company owns the whole stack, that's not the only way to win anymore. Maybe it never was. Sharing resources, open weights, third-party partnerships, these are all versions of the same idea. Resilience through distribution, not concentration. Let me pull this into something practical. There's a piece this week from a developer who solved a problem I think a lot of builders are hitting right now. It's called the context handshake. The problem, how do you onboard AI to a legacy codebase without it breaking everything? Because if you just point Claude or Cursor at a 10-year-old Rails app and say, add a feature, it's going to make changes that technically work but violate implicit rules the team has followed for years. This developer built a structured template. You brief the AI upfront. Here's the architecture, here's the constraints. Here's the naming conventions. Here's what changed recently and why. It's codifying context, so the AI respects the implicit rules. And what I love about this, it's the same principle as the modular robots. You're not trying to build a model that magically understands your code base. You're building a system where information is shared explicitly so the model can adapt. Resilience through sharing. Again. One more thing before I wrap. There's a builder called Aradia who wrote about why most AI apps fail at retention, and his answer is they're solving the wrong problem. Most AI apps focus on input to output. You ask a question, you get an answer. Done. But retention requires memory, identity, continuity. The model needs to remember what you talked about last time. It needs to adapt to your preferences. It needs to feel like a relationship, not a transaction. He shifted his focus from input to output, to interaction to memory, to identity to return. And when you look at that framework, it's not about better outputs, it's about building systems that adapt and persist, which is exactly what those modular robots are doing and what open weights models enable, and what Apple's third-party AI strategy depends on. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The assumption for years has been that strength comes from vertical integration. Own the whole stack, control everything, build walls around your advantage. But the pattern emerging this week, in robotics, in voice AI, in platform strategy, in how developers work with AI, the pattern is different. Strength through sharing, resilience through distribution, adaptation over hardening. It's not that vertical integration is dead, it's that it's not the only path anymore. And the companies and builders figuring that out first, those are the ones to watch. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.